Hi, I'm Tom Power. Welcome to Toy Harp, a podcast about bluegrass. This is the last episode of season two. Here from Nashville is my conversation with Allison Krauss.
I remember, you know, the first time I looked out in the audience and saw people singing words to our songs that only we had recorded. That was just a really crazy moment. Just never thought it'd end up being there. Never thought we'd hear back from Rounder. Yeah. Never thought we would hear from Rounder in the first place.
If this is your first time listening, you can hear full interviews with Jerry Douglas, Allison Brown, Bela Fleck, Larry Sparks, Jody Stecker, and so many more wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Later on.
An instrument is going to call you, you need just 10 seconds. It's like when you see the woman of your life, you know, that you see her and after 1 minute, you know, that's it.
And you would know this.
Yes. It happened to me.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
It happened to me. And also with a guitar. I heard a guitar. I was on a train. I was, I think, 10 years old. And there was a guy playing this guitar and an old pop Italian song. And in 5 minutes, I understood that that was my instrument. And I started to bother my father, poor father, and ask him. At that time, it was not an easy thing to ask for a guitar, you know, in the 60s.
Yeah.
And so he was gracious and he brought me a guitar really, really soon.
Welcome to the Travis Book Happy Hour Podcast. I'm Travis Book. This episode is brought to you by Thompson Guitars, makers of fine instruments, handmade with love, in Sisters, Oregon. The podcast is presented by Americana Vibes and The Bluegrass Situation, and our show is part of the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. You can dive into all things roots music anytime at thebluegrasssituation.com. When the opportunity to host Beppe Gambetta on the Happy Hour came up, I jumped on it. Beppe is a legend and has a totally unique flat picking voice. An ambassador for flat picking around the world and Italian music in the States, he's also incredibly charming. Beppe is a disciple of Doc Watson, and this being the year Doc would have turned 100, we chose to present the music of Doc for this particular episode. I rank this amongst the best interviews I've ever conducted, and after the show, we all went to a friend's house and he cooked us pasta and broccoli, and we had a classic Italian midnight dinner party. Funny, kind, disarming, grateful, and driven, my musical world is much richer for the friendship I've forged with Beppe and his wife, Frederica. This episode was recorded live at 185 King Street on March 4th, 2023.
From here at 185 King Street, the soul of Brevard, North Carolina, it's the Travis Book Happy Hour with special guest Beppe Gambetta. And featuring the Happy Hour House Band of Mike Gugino and Bennett Sullivan. And now, your host, Travis Book.
All right, thank you. Thanks so much for being here. I'm really excited to have the one and only Beppe Gambetta here. It's a bit of a surprise. That wasn't the plan, but sometimes the stars aligned. Tonight we're going to be presenting the music of Doc Watson. Doc would have been 100 years old this year. And Beppe's been doing his best to spread the gospel of Doc this year. So he's going to lead us through some music. But thanks again for being here, everyone.
Yes, I think, first of all, it's so great to be in Brevard back and with the music of Our Father. I am Beppe Gambetta. My life changed 50 years ago when from a regular Led Zeppelin boy, I heard one song of Doc Watson from an album that someone brought to Italy, and I became a flat picker. That is really a strange thing, to be a flat picker in Italy. People continues to think, flat picking, looking for an apartment. You know. So, I am spending great part of my life performing as a solo guitarist and songwriter, and tonight is incredible to be a front man of such a band. You know, I'm so excited, and I would like to start with we think to start with this great Doc Watson number that is a cheating song, and it's strange because in Italy, if you have a cheating song, usually it's really sad. Oh, amore mio, amore. And here, Doc Watson, he's specialized in happy cheating. So it's like, ha, 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 my woman left me, la, la, la. So this is one of my favorite cheating song that is called...
Yes, it's good.
Are you ready?
Yes, boss.
Okay. This is I'm worried now. One, two, three, four, one. Wake up this morning feeling so blue. I had an awful dream, honey, all about you. I'm worried now. Cause I didn't want a dream to come true. That old dream was awful to me. Dream that I saw you sitting on his knee. I'm worried now, I'm worried now. Cause that dream has come true, don't you see?
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Maybe that should have been the finale. This is one of my old favorite Doc tunes. I'm still learning how to play it. We'll do our best. It's called the Deep River Blues.
You take us through halfway.
Do you tell banjo jokes when you tune here?
Yes. Sure.
So, should I tell accordion jokes? So to respect you. Okay, I tell you an accordion joke. Do you know why there are no accordions in Star Wars? Because it's the future. Because it's the future.
Yes. It's the future, man.
I got them deep river blues. Let the rain drive right on, let the waves sweep along, 'cause I got them deep river blues. Well, my old gal's a good old gal, she looks like a waterfowl, and I got them deep river blues. There ain't no one to cry for me, and the fish all go on a spree when I got them deep river blues. Give me back my old boat, gonna set issue float, 'cause I got them deep river blues. I'm going back to Muscle Shoals, times are better there, I'm told, 'cause I got them deep river blues. My boat sinks with me, I'll go down, don't you see, 'cause I got them deep river blues. Now I'm gonna say goodbye, if I sink, just let me die, 'cause I got them deep river blues. River blue, yeah, 'cause I got them deep river blue. That's an old trick. When you don't know what to do, you just say, "Everybody play," and then you see what happens.
My first record project was crazy, sort of. In 88, I traveled the whole United States with a tape recorder and guitar, a big tape recorder, and I knock at the door of every famous flat picker and say, "Hi, I am an Italian flat picker. Would you like to play a tune with me?" And they didn't have the courage to send me away, you know? So I was really persisting, like a Jehovah Witness of flat picking, you know? Anyway, and I rearranged some tunes, and this is a slow version of the Salt Creek. Thank you.
I've been reading and thinking a lot about happiness these last few months. This is, after all, the Travis Book Happy Hour. And part of what I set out to do when I launched this thing during the pandemic was to see if I could increase overall happiness, or at least create a space where we could explore the existential questions of what and how to be happier. This is of interest to me. I don't know if you care about this stuff, but I do. Like, what are we doing here, and what does it matter, and are we happy about it, you know? So recently I picked up a couple books. I picked up a book called The Good Life, Lessons from the World's Longest Scientific Study of Happiness, and a book called The Geography of Bliss. And one passage in particular struck me this week as I was in the depths of what I experience as symptoms of a short period of depression, or what may be more commonly referred to as a funk. You may have been in a funk before. I'm fortunate to be in a place where I'm able to create enough space between my thoughts and my emotions and myself that I can generally maintain a little bit of perspective. As Ram Dass would say, I'm not thinking I'm depressed. Instead, it's like, oh, huh, there's depression. How interesting, you know? And so it occurred to me at some point that depression, or the melancholy, actually served me, because that's where, as a culture, we think our greatest art comes from. When I'm happy and connected, in love with life, I'm not usually ruminating and trying to express my feelings through song. I'm out in the sun making merry, you know, having a good time. So now when the darkness creeps in, I get a little bit excited, because I've been trained to think that that's where great art is made. I also find that it's possible to be happy and sad at the same time, to hold both of these realities more or less simultaneously. And when I read this passage from The Geography of Bliss, it articulated it perfectly. So again, if you'll humor me for just a moment, I find this stuff eminently interesting, and then we'll get back to the music.
Good stuff.
Oh, just wait. I'm about to read what a professional writer has to say on the subject. All right, so here. He's writing about Iceland, which is a place that has, it's one of the happiest places on Earth, as at least as that metric, as it can be measured by metrics. I can hear Ragnar, an Icelandic artist I met earlier, laughing, cackling at another table. Ragnar has a brightly colored scarf flung around his neck. He's snapping his fingers with one hand and gesturing with the other, but there's something wrong with the scene, something not right. Ragnar is happy. Ragnar is an artist. These two facts do not normally go together. Artists, real artists, are supposed to suffer, and suffering is generally not a happy state of mind. The myth of the unhappy artist has persisted for a long time. 19th century English poets like Byron and Shelley died young, and more recently, singers like Jimi Hendrix and Kurt Cobain did their bit to promulgate the myth. Iceland puts this silly myth out of its misery once and for all. I met dozens of artists, and all of them were, for the most part, happy. I remember what Hilmar had said when I asked him if he was happy. He says, "Yes, but I cherish the melancholia." That was the part that had me reading it again. Magnus, who he refers to as the sunburned penguin, can't explain why, you have to pick up the book for yourself. He said something very similar. He said, "You nurture your little melancholia, and it's like a buzz that makes you feel alive. You snap yourself a little bit, and you feel this relief of how fragile life is and how tremendously fragile you are. So you can have this melancholia and still be happy? Absolutely." He goes on to say, "Modern social science confirms what the sunburned penguin says. The psychologist Norman Bradburn, in his book, describes how happiness and unhappiness are not opposites, as we often think. They're not two sides of the same coin. They are different coins. It's possible, in other words, for a happy person to also suffer from bouts of unhappiness, and for unhappy people to experience great moments of joy. And here in Iceland, it seems it is even possible to be happy and sad at the same time." You could almost say, here in Brevard, it seems it's even possible to be happy and sad at the same time. The sun is shining, but still, for some reason, it's only 32 degrees out. It's weird. So now I'm feeling back to normal, and I've missed my window to make great art. Alas, but the struggle is real, and in the spirit of melancholy and suffering, Mike and I are going to sing you a song that Doc used to do called Talk About Suffering.
Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep following Jesus. Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep loving Jesus. The gospel train is coming, now don't you want to go and leave this world of sorrow and troubles here below? Oh, can't you hear it, Father? And don't you want to go and leave this world of sorrow and troubles here below? Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep following Jesus. Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep loving Jesus. Oh, can't you hear it, Mother? And don't you want to go and leave this world of sorrow and troubles here below? Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep following Jesus. Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep loving Jesus. Oh, can't you hear it, Brother? Now don't you want to go and leave this world of sorrow and troubles here below? The gospel train is coming, now don't you want to go and leave this world of sorrow and troubles here below?
Pepe, thank you so much
for
being
here. What a pleasure,
here.
What a joy. You know, it's for me, you know, to first of all to do teach in Boone the music of Doc Watson and play it a little, and after visit the grave of Doc Watson, and after being here talking with you is a dream, you know, it's fantastic.
It really worked out perfectly. You know, we had something else scheduled for today, but it just worked out that you were in town, and thanks for staying around a few extra days. I know you have lots of good friends here, and
yes.
and a huge thank credit you. To Mike Gugino for drawing the connection and building the relationship. So you're from Genoa, and
Genoa in Italy.
Genoa,
yes.
Sorry,
yes.
and you were born there,
yes.
Raised there, and you still live there.
Close to Genoa. I have a double life. I live part
lucky
of my
you.
I live part of my life in New Jersey, in Lambertville, New Jersey, and part of my life in a little village close to Genoa, Italy, where I was born. Yes.
Where is it prettier?
If you talk about food, I have a precise answer. But both are beautiful, and they are sort of historic. Both, you know.
Yeah.
Genoa has this incredible history. That you can in Genoa you can see the violin of Paganini, who was born there. Yes. I brought Casey Drissen over there. You know, he had tears. You know, and is also the town where Christopher Columbus was born. Vespa was invented, and pesto sauce was invented. You know, is an interesting place. You know, many times, you know, pesto sauce gets more applause than Christopher Columbus.
And rightly so. And rightly so.
Yes.
It's funny you mentioned Casey Dreesen, because the other day yesterday we were practicing, and I noticed your red shoes, and I was like, this guy's. Yeah. Got to meet Casey Dreesen. No. Apparently, you already know him.
I was first because I'm so old. I'm so old, you know. On the other side, Lambertville in New Jersey is a small village with 3,000 inhabitants and with a lot of artists. Paul Simon had was living there for a while, and Rod Stewart also. And amazing. So it's a little colony where many artists are living. So it's also a pleasure. And actually, it's close where George Washington was crossing the Delaware River. You know, I live really close there, and there are all of these big pictures. You know, of George Washington pointing up on the other side of the river. And yeah. Do you know what he says?
Tell me.
Yeah. He said, look, there is an Italian flat picker.
Yes. Okay. It's great. I can tell this interview is already going to, it's like going to do itself. It's like, I don't even need to be here. You are so amazing. Was there music in your home when you were growing up?
My parents were all for classical music. They had contests about recognizing in 1 second what symphony it was from Beethoven. So I heard a lot of classical, but they didn't like the Beatles too much. So.
There's no accounting for taste, as I like to say, you know. And when did you first discover the guitar?
When an instrument is going to call you, you need just 10 seconds. It's like when you see the woman of your life, you know, that you see her and after 1 minute, you know, that's it.
And you would know this.
Yes. And it happened to me.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
It happened to me. Also with a guitar. I heard a guitar. I was on a train. I was 10 years old. And there was a guy playing this guitar and an old pop Italian song. And in 5 minutes, I understood that was my instrument. And I started to bother my father, poor father, and ask him. At that time, it was not an easy thing to ask for a guitar, you know, in the 60s.
Yeah.
And so he was gracious and he brought me a guitar really, really soon. So.
That's incredible.
I
have sort of a similar situation where, like, I was in a band and they needed a bass player, and all I had to do was mention it to my mother, and my mom was in rock bands growing up, and she knew that if I had a bass, I would always have gigs, you know, and she was right. I've just she was right there, and I owe my mom's here tonight. Actually, she's here every night, and I owe her a debt of gratitude. I wouldn't be here. Yeah. Without my mother, I guess that's the most obvious thing in the world. You're well versed in a lot of styles of guitar, but I'm you know, in the context of playing Doc Watson's music and your history as a flat picker, I'm curious, what was the first American guitar style or player that really caught your attention?
I was capturing some acoustic guitar from all the normal Paul Simon, Simon and Garfunkel, and Bob Dylan. There was a little bit of acoustic, but in Italy there were no imported albums of Doc Watson and all. So for me, it was this shocking thing. Finally, when an uncle of a friend of mine brought to Genova an album of the Newport Folk Festival. There was one song of Mississippi John Hurt, one song of Flattens Cracks, and one of Doc Watson. And that really changed my life. And
that's incredible.
I became a flat picker. Yes.
I know Doc has done that for a lot of people. The guitar player in my band, Andy Falco, he can trace it to a moment of seeing Doc Watson at Grey Fox and having this absolute epiphany.
Yes, and the incredible thing is that it is not just an American thing. So I'm a proof. Doc Watson called people to the guitar all over the world. If you go in Bern, Switzerland, at the Mahogany Hall, a place where Doc and Merle played, they worship him. They had a murales of Doc and Merle in Bern in the Mahogany Hall. Or I met people from India who were Doc Watson fans, from Belgium, from Russia, that were Doc Watson fans. So, and one student of mine became so crazy for Doc Watson that he gave to his son the name Doc.
That's about as committed as you can get.
Yes.
Someone named their dog after me. That's not too bad. I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
When did you know that you would dedicate your life to playing the guitar?
Really, really early.
Yeah.
I tried to do it in the 70s. To think about becoming a professional acoustic guitarist, it was really impossible. But I did all my best. I was even writing. I wrote the book about flat picking, the first Italian manual, in the night, because I had to work. And in the night was the only moment I wrote this book. And it was fantastic, because I fought for becoming a flat picker and for this style. And sort of around 40 years ago, I started to abandon the other works and be a full-time musician. And it's a strange feeling, because you go to sleep extremely happy because you did a beautiful flat picking gig and people are happy, and you wake up the next morning and you are unemployed. So but anyway. Yeah.
It starts again every day.
Yeah, every day.
Every day.
Well, since 40 years.
That's like almost like a spiritual parable. Then, you know, you're like you're born anew every day.
Yes, every day.
You renew your dedication to the craft every day.
Yes,
that's kind of beautiful, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You're spending this year celebrating the music of Doc Watson, because this would have been his 100th. Year on Earth.
Birth, yes.
Born in 19... What year is this? Born in 1923.
March 3rd, 1933.
Yeah. What is it about his music that you find so compelling?
I think the first thing that you would think is the technique, because it was magic how he was, from nothing, without any percussion or just one or two guitars, create such an energy. That was amazing. But in reality, he was also important because as an artist, because he was giving an incredible example about how you can transform traditional music in something new and modern, and how to you can invent a total new guitar music from choosing the most incredible, beautiful melodies. So this was fantastic for me too. And when I met him and I heard him, it was fantastic. Also, the invisible wire that he had with the audience, this incredible way of holding the audience and being connected with them that I never experienced. Like, so these are the main reasons because I love him. And also because a lot of people that met him, that knew him, told me that he was a good man.
Yeah. Well, he's one of those musicians that you can really, even if you don't listen to a live recording and hear his banter in between the songs, the timbre of his voice, the quality of his music, you can really feel that.
Yes.
You can feel the quality and the depth and the sort of purity of his character. He's really special like that.
And I met him many times and I performed with him. And it was not so easy for me because I didn't talk with the same accent. And he was always asking to Jack Lawrence, "What did he say?" But I felt such a joyful thing, and I treasured all of this moment. I was able to perform, actually in my life I was able to perform Salt Creek with Doc Watson, Norman Blake, Tony Rice, and Dan Crary. So it's
that's incredible. What a dream.
I think I did the maximum. I should open a pizzeria and quit to play, because it cannot go any better than this. You know?
That is amazing.
Yeah.
You recently published a book.
Yes.
It's titled The Declaration of Love.
Yeah.
I love the title, and I can't wait to read it. Will you tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind it?
Yes, I hate to pronounce this word that starts with pen and finish with mick.
Yeah, I already dropped it once during the night, so we don't need to hear about it.
Yes, but technically, let's say long vacation. During the long vacation, I was thinking at what we missed more, and what we missed more was really the tenderness of being together, the joy and the tenderness of being together. So I composed some music. Instead of fast music, I composed tender music that was representing that aspect. And I thought to write a book with my stories, but always thinking about a beautiful moment of meeting with someone and staying together with someone. And there are all stories about when I first went in a big festival in Winfield and I met with all the crowd, that when I first organized a big workshop and everybody came and we spent all the night awake, and so on, when I met with great artists, and so on and so forth. So every story is about meeting with someone else. And so this is a book about the declaration of love, not for women, because my wife wouldn't allow me. No, is much more important. It's declaration of love for the beauty of the art. That is what it moves us in many moments. And I also put recipes that are about staying together and playing music together. So I have chosen, you know, polenta, that is the Italian beautiful way to hang out together and work together, the big pot, and risotto, and from every tradition, of course, paella, I put from American. At the very end, I thought the food that brings more together in the United States is chili con carne. I have chosen chili con carne because when you have a party, it's such a thing that many times they prepare chili con carne too. So this is the stories of the book and I wrote behind the book, can being together in the beauty of music, good humor, and great food be the key to a better world? So this is the...
Would you mind reading us a passage?
Sorry?
Would you mind reading us a passage from it?
Yes, I should. And I show you the cover because I declare love being from Geneva, not with a bunch of flower hidden, but with a bunch of basil, because being from Geneva, basil is the thing. You know? You declare love with basil.
Basil is the thing.
And as I told you, Bluegrass, I don't know if you know, bluegrass was until now really an important music in Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia, because for different reasons, few albums of Tony Trischka crossed the Iron Curtain because they didn't censor him because they thought he was a Czech guy.
Right.
He had only a Czech name.
Because
of the name. So,
amazing.
And the Czech people went crazy for bluegrass and they reconstructed the whole instruments in Czech because they could not have them. And they had to translate the whole Bing Monroe in Czech because it was not allowed to sing in English until 1973. But there was such a love for this music that finally I get in Geneva, I got a letter from this Czech ladies. We organize a festival in Porta. We have many kids. And in that festival, the young kids, they really enjoyed to talk about freedom. You know, it was still the communist period. So I went. I got the permission. I crossed the border. A lot of controls and a lot of police that came on the train. But finally, I arrived at the festival. And it was amazing to this moment, you know. And this is a little piece of the book that about this experience. And I was waiting in the backstage of this big amphitheater that I didn't see before. So now they finally call me. It's my turn. I walk on the big stage and approach the microphone, dazzled by the spotlight. I know that when you go on stage at a festival in Czechoslovakia, you must greet the audience by shouting into the microphone, "Ahoy!" But if this happens in July of 1988, while a revolution born among young people is about to sweep away an ancient regime, I can't know that the audience will respond in unison with all the power they have in their lungs, and I get hit by an immense that lasts quite a few seconds. There are 25,000 young people shouting this word with the anger of those who want change and the joy of those who want to greet a foreigner coming from the so-called free world. And they want to do it in an unforgettable way. Their greeting literally moves the air. I feel this wind on my face, and even my hair moves slightly on my forehead. I had hair at the time. So then silence falls. 50,000 eyes are on my pick, and everyone is waiting for me to start playing. It is such an emotional moment that I am caught off guard. The cameras of the national TV are pointed on my fingers. And someone told me that we are also being broadcast in other countries in the East. Everyone is looking at me, but I hesitate to start because as an inveterate flat picker, I have planned to play the medley, riding on the new river train, Turkey in the Straw. But how? The world is going through an epochal change. The foreigner arrives. Maybe everyone expects an important message of brotherhood, and I propose a nursery rhyme about multiple cheating in every verse and a melody inspired by a turkey in the straw. I really don't have time to reconsider and change the program. I start fast with "I'm riding on that new train." Who knows what they will think if they listen to me in Bulgaria and in Romania? But I underestimated the deep knowledge of the folk repertoire and American bluegrass that they have around here, and how Doc Watson and flat picking are well known in this land devoted to bluegrass for so many different reasons. The response is wonderful and has so many meanings that confirm that music is always an important exercise in freedom. I can still hear the echo of that applause, and if I could have access to a time machine, that is certainly a moment I would like to relive, because it is a strong testimony that art and beauty are and will always be engines of important change.
Indeed. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's
really
wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I have just a handful of questions. I call this the lightning round.
Okay.
But you don't feel that, you know, you can answer with as long an answer as you want.
Or quick.
Or you can go quick. It's up to you. Okay. Lightning round.
Yeah.
What color is your front door?
Well, this requires a really long answer. Because I live in Italy in a house that has an original door from 1700.
Wow.
It's sort of a monastery from 1700 with the original door. And it's really dark and old, but we cannot touch it. So I wish I could paint it of red, but I can't. So it is really dark brown.
Yeah. That's the best answer I've ever had to that question. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
What is something you learned from your father?
To be persistent, and if no one helps you, do it yourself.
Brilliant. What advice would you give to your 15-year-old self?
Don't trust anybody.
Pepe, is there anything that you're afraid of?
Tendinitis.
Oh, very legitimate concern.
Yes.
Two more questions. What is it that you hope for?
A little more work. A little more work coming.
God, I love you so much. Yeah. You're amazing. And what makes you happy?
A good cappuccino.
Man after my heart. Pepe Gambetta, everyone.
That's amazing. Wow, thank you. Yeah.
Travis Book Happy Hour is brought to you by Americana Vibes, the world's premier Americana music label. More at AmericanaVibes.com. The Travis Book Happy Hour is supported by Thompson Guitars, makers of fine instruments handmade with love in Sisters, Oregon. The crew at Thompson carries on Preston's legacy with handcrafted guitars, enjoyed by some of the finest players on the scene. More at pktguitars.com. Look for the Happy Hour House Band Music Compilation Volume 2, featuring Lindsay Liu, Nikki Bloom, Travis Book, Kyle Tuttle, and more, due out on Americana Vibes in April of 2023. The Infamous String Dusters, a tribute to Flattened Scruggs, is the latest release in their tribute series that pays homage to bluegrass music pioneers. Available from Americana Vibes and on all streaming platforms. To the show.
Thank you, Bill. And thank you, everyone. Now back to Doc.
I left Tennessee very much alive, and I never would have made it through the Arkansas mud if I hadn't been riding on a Tennessee stud. I had some trouble with my sweetheart's pa, one of her brothers was a bad outlaw. I wrote her a letter to my uncle Fudd, and I rode away on a Tennessee stud. Couldn't agree, we got in a fight over Tennessee. We pulled our gun and he fell with it up, and I rode away on the Tennessee stud. The Tennessee stud was long and lean, the colors on his eyes were green. He had nerve and he had blood, and there never was a horse like a Tennessee stud. Thank you.
chorus of the audience was not loud enough. I don't know. So we are reaching the last chorus soon, so please. Rode right back through the Arkansas. I whipper potter on a whipper broad. Found that girl with the golden hair, and she was riding on a Tennessee mare. Pretty little baby on a cabin floor, and laid her whole score ring round the door. I love that girl with the golden hair, and a Tennessee stud loved the Tennessee mare. The Tennessee stud was long and lean, the color of the sun, and his eyes were green. He had the nerve and he had blood, and it never was a horse like a Tennessee stud. Twice the introduction, and at the end, twice again. At the St. John's Hospital, early one morning in the month of May, when I looked through the window and I spied a dear cowboy, a dear cowboy as cold as a clay. My body, and send for a preacher to come and play for my soul. For my poor head is aching, and my sad heart is breaking. I'm a poor coffin. 16 pretty maiden to come and sing me a song, and tell them to bring some of them sweet smelling roses, so they can smell me as they bear me along.
slowly and play the fife lowly. Play the dead march as they bear me along. Throw bunches of lilies all over my coffin. There goes a poor cowboy that knows he done wrong. There goes a poor cowboy that knows he done wrong. It's such a beautiful experience for me because, you know, musicians are great when they play beautiful solos, but there is this also this feeling that you sometimes you never played with a person and you start a song and the whole band jumps exactly with the right dynamics and they don't know the song, and in the second run they already know it perfectly, you know. And so this is this feeling for me is such a like a dream to play with such a fantastic musician, you know. Another famous, really famous song of Doc Watson, We Are Leaving You, with the song, actually it was the first song that I heard on the album, it's called Way Downtown.
That's the four, right?
Yeah, indeed. Still.
Still starts with four.
Okay. One, two, three.
Thank you.
the hills of West Virginia. I like the hills of Tennessee. North, south, east, or west, it seems like home to me.
Sullivan, Mike Gugino, and of course, Beppe Gambetta. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
This has been the Travis Book Happy Hour Podcast. Thanks for listening. Huge thanks to Beppe Gambetta, Mike Gugino, Bennett Sullivan, Thompson Guitars, Americana Vibes, and The Bluegrass Situation. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe and leave a positive review. It really helps us out. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Travis Book Happy Hour and online at thetravisbookhappyhour.com. And remember, it's okay to be happy.